branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. The work of the vine dresser is external. It is to remove unfruitful branches and to prune fruitful branches. The goal of the vine dresser is to maximize fruitfulness. And this clip will give you an idea of what that looks like.
Black Manuka is a dark, seedless European table grape, and it is a variety that you can either spur prune or cane prune. So we've got lots of really nice spur wood on it, so I'm going to choose to spur prune it this year. It's pretty well balanced out already as far as where it's growing. So what we want to do at this point is come in and we're going to leave short spurs, three buds, one, two, three, and cut. Down, and we're down here in the dark, we're going to open it up a little bit, take some of the smaller growth out. Here's another one. Here's a nice one. One, two, three, cut. Same right here. One, two, three, and cut. One, two, three, and cut. So we're leaving short spurs with three buds. The spurs are going to be anywhere from about 3 to 6 inches long. And we don't need a hundred. We don't need every one of these. So we're going to do some thinning along with it. We're going to take out the weaker ones. We're going to take out the ones that are growing in a direction that we really don't like very well. And we're going to favor the balanced spurs that are growing in the right direction. Here we've got a lot of mishmash up here, so we'll take some out from the bottom. We're making sure to leave these nice spur initiations. Actually, way too much growth here, so I'm gonna take that big section out. Now, grapevines left unstructured and unpruned will take over your entire backyard, so don't make that mistake. Make sure that you keep your vines well managed, and you'll always have a nice looking vine that's easy to deal with, and you'll always have a good crop of grapes. So we're going to check these about midway to the next plant. We'll take off a lot of this low.
All right. So from this passage and from our illustration, I hope you can see that God the Father uses circumstances to maximize the fruitfulness of a believer. It says in Hebrews 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you like a son. And in verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. However, later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and faith to those who have been trained by it. The vine dresser expects the branch to submit to the hardship of pruning. He is the master, the branch is the servant. The master does not serve the branch serves the master, producing fruit that satisfies the master and brings him glory. Now, the work of the vine is to give life to the branch, to maximize fruitfulness. As the life of the vine flows into and through the branch, it produces life in the branch. Apart from the vine, the branch is dead. In John 15, 1 through 6, we see the sovereign work of God the Father and God the Son choosing us, giving us life, and making us fruitful. So what does it mean to be fruitful? The first thing that comes to mind is Galatians 6, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. This is the fruit of character in action. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. This is the fruit of spiritual gifts in action. And in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. So this is the fruit of good deeds in action. So I would submit to you that fruit is any evidence of Christ transforming life in us. So fruit is any evidence of Christ transforming life in us. As believers, we serve the purposes of God in our lives as we submit to the discipline of our master and bear fruit of Christ-like character, giftedness, and deeds. In short, We bear fruit as believers in Christ as we serve the Master and submit to His discipline in our life. Christ's life flows through us, and God conforms us into the image of His Son. Christ's life flows through us, and God conforms us to the image of His Son. So first, to abide in Christ is to be a servant of God. Second, to abide in Christ is to be a disciple of God's Word. As we look at John 15, 7 and 8, the place is the Word. The state is prayerfulness. The relation is that of a disciple to his teacher. And the expectancy is, again, fruitfulness. It says in 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Usually in reading verse 7, the focus is on God answering prayer. I think the true focus is on us abiding in God's Word. For apart from the Word, it is impossible to know God. It is through the Word that He reveals Himself and His purposes to us. It is only because God has chosen to reveal Himself to speak to us that we can speak to Him. The Word of God is God's communication to us. Prayer is to be our response to that communication. So the only reason that we can speak to God is because He has chosen first to speak to us. The Word is His communication to us, and prayer is to be our response to that communication. When I read of the greatness of God, I respond with adoration. When I read of His holiness and my sinfulness, I respond with confession. When I read of the redemptive purposes of God, I respond with thanksgiving. When I read of the love of God, I respond with supplications on behalf of myself and others. It is through God's Word that I learn to speak God's language. So it is through God's Word that I learn to speak God's language. The disciple seeks to learn from his teacher so that he, the disciple, may become like his teacher. The disciple of Christ will become like his master. As Christ's disciples, we study his words and life with the purpose of conforming our life to his. At the men's conference, Steve Best said something to the effect, this will be a paraphrase, our study of God's word is not to be primarily informational, but rather transformational. 1 John 1:8, little children, let us not love in word and speech, but in deed and in truth. The knowledge we gain from God is not to remain in our heads. It is to flow from our hearts and as we apply the word to our life circumstances. This is what brings glory to God. So, how do we abide in God's word? By the discipline of meditation. As we hear God's word being read, we meditate on what we hear. As we read God's word, we meditate on what we read. As we study God's word, we meditate on what we study. As we memorize a verse or a passage of scripture, we meditate on what we've memorized. It is in meditation that God's word begins to conform our thoughts and our minds to those of Christ. It is through meditation on God's word that we learn to apply God's word to our life circumstances. So in short, we bear fruit when the meditation of our minds and hearts combine in prayer to conform us to those of the word of God. Christ's word dwells in us and compels us to conform to his image. So, to abide in Christ is to be a servant of God. To abide in Christ is to be a disciple of God's word. To abide in Christ is to be in love with Christ. In John 15, 9 through 15, the place is Christ's love. The state is obedience, and the relation is that of friend to friend. And the expectancy now is joy. So let's look at that passage. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Okay, I'm going to stop there for a minute. So Christ invites us to share in the love that he has with the Father. We are invited to be in relation to the love the Godhead has always had. His love toward me is complete. He will never love me anymore, and he will never love me any less than he does now. Because his love for me is perfect, it is forever. Now, God's love language is obedience. He expects us to grow in our love for him, and this growth is to be evidenced by our obedience to him. In the preceding chapter, Christ says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The people of the world long for unconditional love, yet rebel against God, who alone can give it to them. The price for this love is obedience, a surrendering from our rebellion to the one who learned obedience from the Father and purchased our salvation through his death on a cross. It is through obedience to God's word that the word transforms our lives. It transforms us from rebels to saints, from unholy to holy, from unrighteous to righteous. It conforms us to the image of Christ and makes us fit for heaven and friendship with Christ forever. God gives me his love so that his joy will be in me. I respond to God's love for me with joy as I grow in understanding of what he did for me on the cross. In Hebrews 12:2, we see how Christ's joy was achieved. It says, set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Christ's joy is in us. However, he wants our joy to be complete and full. And the way to this joy is the way to the cross, the way of the cross, the way of death to sin and denial of our old natures. In Luke 9:23, he says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I am called to lay down my life in all of my relationships as the love of Christ transforms me. Death to my self-centeredness, how I treat my parents, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my co-workers, my fellow believers, and the list goes on and on. My proud and rebellious old nature conspires to rob me of the fullness of joy that God has for me, and therefore must be cast aside, replaced by the new nature of Christ has given me. The result is that who God loves, we come to love. We grow in our relationships with our siblings in Christ. As we learn to follow Christ's life in us more closely, we begin to die to self and to identify more and more with the sufferings of Christ. The old nature is passing away, and we realize the new has come. Our love and respect has grown into friendships based on the love we have experienced from him. John 15:15-16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. Now we have come full circle. the life of Christ in us has produced fruit in us that will last for all eternity. In our relationship with God, we have shared interests, shared goals, shared taste, and shared values with God. We enjoy God's company, and He enjoys ours. We have become more than just servants. We have become His friends. So how do friendships develop? Am I on the right one? Yeah. First, we meet someone. In this case, God has chosen to meet us through the gospel. Having established our relationship, He then communicates with us through His word, and we respond to Him in prayer. As we spend time together, our conversations can go deeper and deeper. Our minds are challenged and shaped by meditating on His revelation. As time progresses, our love for God grows as we obey His commands and love those God loves. I share in His sufferings and embrace the cross. I am God's friend. In short, we bear fruit when we obey the love of Christ and lay down our life to serve others. The love of Christ flows through us to transform us into a friend of God. When you look at a vineyard in the harvest, do you praise the branches or do you praise the vine dresser? Just as the Son seeks to glorify the Father in all He does, His sanctifying work in us results in our bearing fruit that will glorify the Father. Takes a while, doesn't it?
It's moving pretty quick.
That's right. I like that. It's like it's moving. It almost feels like it's painful sometimes. You look at it trying to come out. I imagine that throughout eternity, God's creatures will look at you and me and see the life in us that Christ has produced. They will see the fruit that abides, and they will glorify God for what He has done in us, to us, and through us. I think that's exciting, don't you? That we will be a testimony of God's grace in our life. So back to our original question. What does it mean to abide in Christ? It means that we are in Christ, in His word, and in love with Him. It means that we are submissive, prayerful, and obedient to him. It means that we are his servants, his disciples, and friends with his people. It means that we are bearing fruit that will abide. To abide in Christ is to be actively cooperating with the transformative life of Christ in us, to bear fruit that will glorify the Father forever. In short, to abide in Christ is to become God's friend, and our joy is complete. So in response to this, join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have chosen us in Christ to bear much fruit and so prove to be your disciples. Thank you that you have given us the power to choose to live a life of obedience to your word. Thank you for calling us to live a life of self-denial, love, and friendship with you and with one another. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. But because of your life in us, we can do all things that will bring glory to God the Father. Even so, make it so. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our last song together? By faith.